I'll begin reading with verse 11. That's really where this passage begins. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I want to preach this afternoon on the subject of the importance of thanksgiving. Now and again, when there's a particular opportunity because of the nature of the scripture that's before us at the time, I like to bring that out, the absolute importance of our being thankful people. There's real power in thanksgiving and cultivating a thankful, thankful heart. Now, I'm going to use a word here because it's so apparent in this passage of Scripture that I used this morning. And again, it's this matter of awareness. A lot of people go through life, like I used to hear some of the old-timers would talk about people who weren't thankful, and they said they're like hogs in a hog pen. They said they're always eating up the acorns off of the ground, and never once do you see any of them lift their heads to see where those acorns are coming from. All that matters to the pigs in the pen is that the acorns are there. Just as long as they're there, they don't think in their animal brains about where or give any consideration where it comes from. It's just there for them to have and for them to enjoy, and there's no sense of awareness beyond that. But here we see these 10 lepers. Now, we're not going to go into a long discussion about lepers because I'm sure everybody here is familiar with what it means to have leprosy, especially in this day, but it hadn't changed much. Leprosy is a terrible, terrible disease. And sometimes some of the most healthy appearing and the most beautiful or handsome people will suddenly discover the signs of something that's not normal, something out of the norm for them, and maybe it'll be a scab on their hairline. That's usually where it starts, or somewhere else. And after a while, they'll go and ask the doctor, "What is this?" And the doctor will do his investigation, so on. And let them know, well, we have discovered what's wrong with you. You have leprosy. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to hear. When people got leprosy in Jesus' day, it's like it is in third world countries today, it was just devastating. Physically devastating, socially devastating because of the contagion involved in it. They couldn't be around their loved ones. You remember one of the most renowned characters in the Bible was Naaman, the commander-in-chief of the Syrian army. You can just get the picture in your mind, somebody like that. A military hero, a man of valor, a warrior. We know from his story how much he was looked up to by his troops. One day, Naaman discovered that of all people that could get it, he got it. He had leprosy. And it started doing its destructive, defiling work within it, deteriorating his body day after day after day after day. In Jesus' time, these people were just literally the outcast of society. Everybody looked at them and they knew themselves that they just weren't very long for this world. And the time they had in the world was very, very lonely. So here are 10 of these types of people that come to Jesus. Now, you got to hand it to these lepers. The Bible says that as Jesus was passing through, these lepers were made aware that he was there, and they went to him and went to him for healing, and he accommodated every one of them. Every one of them got healed. Every one of them was blessed, and they all had that in common. What they didn't have in common was that there was only one of them that was aware of where his blessings came from and aware of what he ought to do about that. And I just want to stop right here and say this. This world is full. I don't know how many billion people there are now, about 6 billion, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how many people are in America. I don't even know what the population of Missouri is. I don't even know the exact number of people that are right here right now. But I know that there are a lot of people, maybe everybody here, I believe everybody here knows the gospel message. From the Sunday school lesson this morning, everybody would know what God has done for people, that they might be saved. And here's one of the great, great crimes of an unsaved person who hears the gospel. The thing that makes them heap up even more judgment unto themselves is that by not responding and receiving Jesus Christ and God's gift of salvation, they're showing the utmost ingratitude to God. Now, in verse 15, the Bible tells us about one of them. One of them, but see, the message for us, we're all saved. All of these men were healed. They were all healed. They all started home. And on the way, the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Now, as you and I were passing on through life, Kathy mentioned how old she was when she was saved. Well, which, according to a lot of women, that would have been about 2 years ago, and she'd be 39 today. But she was on her way, and as she went, in the providence of God, she heard the gospel, and she was saved. And all of us have our own stories as we went through life. God somehow arrested us with the gospel message, convicted us by His Holy Spirit, and we all have our different stories as far as the events and the time and place and all of that. But we all have the same salvation. We've all had our sins forgiven. We all have Jesus as our Savior. We can all give a good testimony of salvation if we want to do. But how many people really show thanksgiving? I mean, really show thanksgiving. And one out of ten here. The Bible says this man here was really aware of his benefits. You know, somebody mentioned the old songs that we sing. How about this old one? Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It really sunk into this one when he saw that he was healed. When he began to look and to think and to realize what his healing really meant. Do you ever think about what it has meant to be saved? Do you ever think about where you could have been if you weren't saved? If you hadn't had your sin conditioned healed, where you could have been, where a lot of people are, you can look around on your pew and wonder, would it have been like anything like this in my home? Would it I have a home like I have if I hadn't been saved, if Jesus hadn't done what He's done for me? Would I have all of these blessings? Well, sometimes it's good for us to just step back and take a look and see what God has done for us. And really think about it. The Bible says here, he saw. Now, some people are conscious of their blessings, and some people act like they're clueless as to how they're blessing, how they've been blessed. God has saved us from the devil's hell. Amen? He saved us from the awful penalty of the curse of sin. He saved us from being under the control of sin. It could drive us like the demoniac of Gadara into the most despicable of lifestyles. And so he saw. And he was not only aware of his benefits, but he was aware of who his benefactor was. Now, the Bible says every good and perfect gift doesn't come from our next door neighbor, our boss, or the union steward, or anything like that. The people at the Hostess Bakery are sure not thanking their union for their benefactor. The union wanted to make a point, so they said, in order for us to make our point, fire 18,000 people, leave them without a job. That's the way it is with a lot of people that others look to as their great benefactor. People are looking, 47% of the people here are looking to the government as being their benefactor. You know, none of these blessings, none of these, this food, this clothing, all of that, none of that comes from anybody but from God. Because if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have anything at all. So the Bible says this man turned back. And this goes right along with our Sunday school lesson this morning. There wasn't anybody there but Jesus, but he turned back and he glorified God. It doesn't say he glorified Jesus, it says he glorified God. Because he recognized him for who he is. See, our benefactor isn't just some great teacher, some oriental philosopher. Our benefactor was God, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so he was aware of all of this, and he showed his appreciation. Now, Thanksgiving is a time for a special gratitude. And this appreciation has to be connected with gratitude. And look at his posture. In verse 16, the Bible says he fell down on his face at his feet. Now, that was quite a show of humility. You know, there really isn't much Thanksgiving unless a person is humble. It takes humility for a person to show any or feel or show any thanksgiving. An old British preacher by the name of J.C. Ryle wrote this. He said, "Thankfulness is a flower that will never bloom well except on a root of deep humility." Thankfulness and humility. In verse 16, the Bible says this was thanks that he gave his posture and the expression there, but he also expressed it publicly. Now, there's something that the Bible teaches over and over and again, and that is that God likes public worship. You know, a lot of people, and they've started whole movements about it, is it's not important to worship God in a church. You know, this idea of... If you'll recall, back when all of this started getting popular was in the 60s, in the early 60s, when everything bad in this country started escalating. You know something that started to become kind of trendy and for people to say, "I don't believe in an organized religion." Don't believe in organized religion? Well, the Bible says do all things decently and in order. Jesus has a church, and he organized his church. And so God has a place. Now, as we go on in our doctrinal series on Sunday mornings, before long, we're going to get to the doctrine of the New Testament church. And the doctrine of the New Testament church is very real. Jesus has a church. It's not just a mystical fog bank kind of vagary out there, whatever you want it to be, that's what it'll be. Jesus has a church. It is an institution. The New Testament church is a local, visible entity. And it has a purpose and the promise of God that it will be in existence as an institution right up until he comes back at the rapture. The New Testament church. And we ought to be thankful for the New Testament church. I'm glad it was expressed today. Thankfulness for the New Testament church. A lot of people don't have any idea of what the church is. They just don't have any idea what it is. But we do. And more people need to know about that. And so it's a place, the church is a place for people to give public expressions of thanks to God. We do it when we pull up and park our cars, where people can see that there are people who are honoring God and honoring God's house. Public expressions of thanksgiving when we come into His house and give testimony. People ought to give thanks to God for the good jobs that they have. They ought to give thanks to God for the good health they have, for the good families they have, and on and on and on. And God wants that to be done in a public way, as well as in a private way. And notice this, when He gave His, the Bible says He came giving Him thanks, giving Him thanks, giving a thank offering to the Lord. And look how He did it. The Bible says that He was doing all of this thanksgiving, with a loud voice. Verse 15, He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He wasn't ashamed of what the Lord had done for him. He wasn't ashamed to have anybody know that he was giving thanks to the Lord. And then, when you look at this, reminded of those passages in the Bible, especially in the Psalms, Psalm 63 and in verse 5, the psalmist said, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Joyful lips. Thanksgiving to God. In Psalm 50 and verse 23, "Whosoever offers praise," God said, "glorifieth me," and God gets glory from our praise. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Can we just try to, as a church, remember that when every time we come to church, that we want to come and we want to offer God praise. We want to be here in order to praise the Lord. "Be thankful unto Him," the psalmist goes on, he says, "and bless His name." Psalm 33 and 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Now, so he's aware of the blessings. Like the psalmist said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me?" He was so conscious of it. And he was also appreciative and expressed that. And then, lastly, I want you to notice this, the advantages that are connected with gratitude. Now, there's something really clear here in this passage of Scripture. And what's clear is that one person really expresses gratitude. Nine people, whatever their excuse, whatever their reason would have been, they didn't express their gratitude. So one really received advantages that the other nine didn't receive. Now, here's one advantage to gratitude. The Lord recognizes it. He sees it. He knows who's giving him thanks. He takes notice of the thankful. I'll say more about that in a second. But He also takes notice of the thankless. His eyes sweep to and fro on the earth. Nothing escapes His sight. And He takes notice of people who are thankless. And the Bible says in verse 17, look how you see that here. Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? The 9. He noticed the 9. He noticed they were conspicuous by their absence. The 9. Where was their expression of appreciation? Where was their thanks? Where are the 9? And you know what? One of the reasons that people are not thankful is because of pride. That thing that was in Nebuchadnezzar when he said, "Has not my great hand gotten me all of this?" And I don't know how these lepers could have ever taken any credit for their healing, but I guess some of them, if they thought long and hard enough about it, they could have said, "You know, it was pretty smart of us to go and see Jesus. That was really smart of me. What a good boy am I? And I have these blessings because I'm a good boy. I'm a good person," and went to the Lord. And So here, you know, look back at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, they'd been pleading and begging for his help. But then when they got it, they didn't show any gratitude. I've seen that a lot of times as a pastor through these many, many years. People who will cry out to God, they want this, they need that. Oh, pray for me that I can, God will help me here, and so on and so forth. Now, I have heard this almost verbatim. Pastor, please pray that I will get out of this hospital. I'm telling you, if I can just get out of this hospital and get well, I will be in church. Now, you're not going to probably, you will probably find this hard to believe. But in some really severe cases where it didn't look like they were going to get out of the hospital. And then they did get out of the hospital. And do you know what? On the following Sunday, they didn't even come to church. Neither did they come the next Sunday or the Sunday after that or the one after that. And so here they got their heart's desire, but then they were thankless. And it's worse today than it has ever been. It is worse today than it's ever been. And that includes professed Christians many times. In 2 Peter 3 and in verse 2, it says, in the last days, here are those last days again where we are, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful. Unthankfulness is put right in there with people that are blasphemers and covetous and so on. Henry Ward Beecher said, pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanksgiving naturally grows. A proud person is seldom a grateful person, for they never think that they get as much as they deserve. So we got to be careful that we're not more interested in our petitions. And the Lord wants our petitions. Don't misunderstand. He says, cast all of your cares. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. He wants our petitions. He wants us to take our burdens to Him. He wants us to open our mouth and see that He'll provide the things that we need. He says, ask what you will. So He wants our petitions, but He also wants our praise. He also wants our thanksgiving. In Philippians 4 and 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now here's, I want to be closing with this, but let's focus on these nine lepers and think about this. Somebody said one time, people who forget to be thankful, a lot of times one day they find themselves with nothing to be thankful for. If you're not thankful for your family and thankful for your children, think about it. If you're not thankful for the home that you have, the automobile, the conveniences that you have, the comforts that we have, you know, there's no guarantee that we'll keep all of those things. And we could lose what we have that we ought to be thanking God for and aren't. And here's the problem with these men. I want you to just look down and see what Jesus said to this one leper. He said in verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And He said unto him, arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, in the beginning of the message, I was describing about what leprosy is like. Most of us know this. People with leprosy, they lose their digits on their hands, their fingers begin to rot and literally fall off, and their toes the same way. Their skin just begins to, and flesh begins to rot away, accompanied by the terrible stench that you could imagine and associate with decaying flesh. But Jesus said to this man, He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, there's a twofold application there, because the story of lepers being healed in the Bible, and there's more than one, those are in there to teach a deeper lesson about a worse kind, a worse sickness, more deadly and dirty than leprosy, and it's spiritual. It's sin. It's what sin does to people. And just as sure as there wasn't any cure back in those days for leprosy, humanly speaking, there's no cure for sin, humanly speaking. Man can't save himself. The Bible says, "For by grace you save through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if we're going to get healing, then we're going to have to get it from God. We're going to have to get it from Jesus. And when the Lord makes us whole, makes these lepers whole, it's a picture of His making us whole in terms of salvation. But there's something else here. There's something else about these lepers here. And that is not just the idea of salvation. He received salvation, but he also received soundness. Soundness. Now, when the Bible says he was made whole, that means there were no scars. There was nothing amiss there whatsoever. I believe it teaches that his fingers and toes and everything else, there was restoration of that. His complexion with all the lesions that had been in it and so on and so forth was restored. When the Lord says he'll make us whole, he means that he'll make us whole. But you know, we look at these other nine and we wonder, there was a certain wholeness missing where they were concerned. You know, if you're saved and you're not thankful, you're not living a thankful life, then something is missing in your life. Something good. When I came in this morning and I was kind of shaking hands and greeting people, immediately one of the people in our church just started expressing how thankful they were for God's blessings. You know, I'll tell you, I believe there's something to that. I believe that there are a lot of people this morning just thinking about the good things God has done for them, what they have to be thankful for. And God blessed us for that. So we need to encourage ourselves in this matter of being thankful to God, giving thanks to Him. Let's all stand together.